This message was preached during the year 2013 Laborers Convocation with the theme, The Same Jesus. It was held between 30th October and 2nd November 2013 at Nisi Training and Retreat Center, Kaduna, Nigeria. For further inquiries on this and other messages, please contact Refuge Media at Trinity Methodist Shopping Arcade, No. 1 Constitution Road, P.O. Box 7332, Kaduna, Nigeria. Telephone 0703-456-8035, 0805-845-5719, email info@theplaceofrefuge.org, website www.theplaceofrefuge.org. May you discover Christ afresh as you listen in Jesus' name.
Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, worthy, O God, we say, glory, honor, all things for thy pleasure. They are and they are created and they are created. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Father, we stand in all of you this morning, and we stand to acknowledge Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, the one that has the keys of David, who opens and no man can shut, the one, having shed his blood, purged our sins, and you are now seated on the right hand of the Majesty. We stand in awe of you this morning, and we sing together with all the angels, all the elders, all the 24 elders and the 4 beasts saying, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, thou was slain, bless him, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Praise him, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Glory, hallelujah, blessing, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. for him. Praise him, praise him. Praise him, hallelujah. Let's praise the Lamb that was slain. It's only one who is worthy. Worthy to open the seal and to bring us in. Hallelujah. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore in Christ, eyes, the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come ye all his people. Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him in Christ. As the Lord, oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh, the Lord, the Savior. Oh, the Lord, the Savior. Yes, Lord Jesus. Shall we tell him? For you alone are worthy. For thou alone art worthy. For thou alone at your as the Lord, for thou alone art worthy, for thou alone art worthy, for thou Christ. Let's do it two more times. For thou alone art worthy. Thou alone art worthy. Alone. Worship you, Jesus. We bow before you this morning. And finally, with our hand, wave to the Lord. Father, alone art worthy. No one else. Thou alone art worthy. Say one word to him. Say one word to Jesus. Something from the depth of your heart to say. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy to be glorified. You are so good, Jesus, you are so good. You are so good. You went on the cross. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. You went for me. I will praise you. Jesus, I will praise you. I will praise you for all you have done for me. I will praise you, Jesus, I will praise you. And I will praise you for all you have done for me. In Jesus' name, we have worshipped. Amen. Our Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for coming in our midst. We stand together to worship you. You are worthy. You went to Calvary. You made yourself of no reputation. You faced that ridiculous death, the death of a criminal, only so that people like us might be brought from the dungeon of darkness and sin, and to be a partaker of the heavenly inheritance. Lord, we thank you. You will see the travail of your soul over our lives, and you will be satisfied. Lord, we stand before you this morning to say, we will be captives in your victory procession. You will use us, Lord, to spread abroad the aroma of your knowledge among men. Father, we ask that when you look at us and you smell the aroma of the victory that you have wrought, you will be satisfied. I ask, Lord, that none of us will be a disappointment to you. None of us will live such a life that will crucify you the second time. None of us will give the devil an occasion to brag against your name. We pray this morning, O God, that as you unveil yourself to us again, as we go a little further understanding your pattern of life, please, Lord, transform us. One prayer we ended yesterday is that we want to be like Jesus. That's our cry yesterday. We said, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. And that's still our cry this morning. We want to be like Jesus. We want your nature to be imprinted upon us. We want to walk in the light of your glory. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we began to pursue. In the morning, we were looking at the passion of Jesus. What Jesus was consumed about, pleasing the Father. He was passionate about righteousness. He hated iniquity with passion. He had zero tolerance for sin. And he had passion to bring many sons unto glory. His passion is to see many souls brought to the kingdom of God. That was what he spent all his life doing. Every time he saw the multitude, he said, these are sheep without shepherds. And the Bible says he had compassion on them. His passion was for souls. His passion was not for money. His passion was not for projects. That was why, even as at the time he was going, he had nowhere to lay his head. The reason is because people are more important than projects as far as he is concerned. But in the night we started to look at his pattern of life. His pattern of life. His pattern of service. We went a little yesterday. It became clear to me that I need to press that a little more time this morning. So you permit me to continue again by dealing with his pattern. His pattern for living. His pattern for service. His pattern of life. While we are going to spend a little more time on his pattern this morning, is because God has called us not only to believe in the Lord Jesus, but to walk in his step. We have been called not just to enjoy his miracles and use his name to cast out demons. We have been called to be conformed to his image. We have been called from one degree of glory to another. Ephesians chapter 4 says, all the gifts that God gave, be it apostles, be it prophets, be it evangelists, pastors, and teachers, it is so that the saints could be equipped for the work of Christian service until we all come to the full stature of the measure of Jesus Christ. God's intention is that we will become. So spending time to look at his pattern of life in the midst of many, many confusions that people are bringing around us, we are not making any overemphasis. We are simply pressing. If the Lord will permit us again this morning to see him just as he is. Praise the Lord. I want you to take your scriptures, because we don't have time. I will be trying to move very fast in what we can do this morning, trusting God to send us help, particularly in the name of Jesus Christ. We read Matthew 12 yesterday, which we have not finished reading. We are going to read it again. But before we return to Matthew 12, I would like us to begin with Philippians 2. Let's go quickly to Philippians chapter 2. We'll be coming back on Matthew 12, and we'll be checking all the scriptures, looking at Christ's pattern of life. Philippians chapter 2. If you get to Philippians 2, are you there? Okay. We would like to read verse 3, verse 4, down to verse, maybe I can read it up to verse 11. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, put it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of servant. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am looking this morning at the pattern of Jesus, the pattern of Jesus' life, the pattern of life that Jesus mirrored and manifested for us to follow. Let me first look through this passage, because it is this passage that releases to us the secret behind his pattern of life. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that Jesus was not arbitrary when he lived the way he lived. Jesus was not vague. He wasn't just dramatizing when he lived the way he lived. And if he lived a real life, that is, if he was not living to impress people, I want you to hear me very well. There are several leaders who are only playing a role. They are not living their lives. Please hear me very well. Do you know that several leaders are very, very violent in anger when they are at home with their wives? But when they come on the platform, or when they are in the church office, what do you notice about them? What do you notice about them? Talk to me quickly. They appear gentle, isn't it? They appear very gentle. You know what happens? They are playing a role. What does that say they are doing? They are playing a role. As soon as they came, they reminded themselves, we are in church, and many people are watching you, and some people will be discouraged if you should get annoyed here. So what did they do immediately? They adjust. Even if you do something that really could make them to be violent, what do they do? They called and said to them, say, don't forget. Don't do what? Forget. So, rather than they speak what is really, really their life they will have said. At that time, they may do like this. Meanwhile, they are annoyed. But they will not let it come out. Why? Because they were doing what? Playing a role. And something tells them that don't disgrace your office. May I inform you that Jesus was not playing a role. He was living his life. I pray that you will become authentic leaders, authentic Christians, who are not just playing roles, but who are what? Who are living a life that can be followed. Even some of you that are helping to disciple others, did you notice that sometime in the presence of your disciples, something reminds you and say, the disciples are around. So that makes you, if you wanted to eat granite with the double of your mouth as you would have done it, now that disciples are around, what do? You eat holily. You are playing a role. The overconsciousness of the people around has imposed on you an artificiality that is not your life. And that is why you are very secretive. Because the truth of the matter is this. There is no how. You can keep playing a role. Your real self is looking for where to express. I don't know whether you are hearing me. I want God to help you understand that Jesus that we are talking about is real. He is real. I will tell you how real he is. He lives a life. He's not acting. He's not playing a role. Can you imagine that some of you, because you have emphasized divine healing so much, you preach so much of divine healing to the extent that you are trying to act, you are acting healed when you are not healed. So what happens when you are sick and you needed to take drug? Where do you take the drug? Inside the bedroom. Why are you doing that? You are saying, how can the people that have been preaching to you about divine healing, how can they see me also sick and taking drug? They will say, I am not living by faith. But the truth is that you are not living by faith. Am I right? How are you living? You are living by drug. So why don't you want people to know it? You are playing a role. Many leaders only play roles. They don't live lives. How some of you, rather than allow your wife to go to the open hospital, because she's the wife of the big man of God. And how can people see that even my own wife is also lining up? What do? You quietly arrange
a doctor to come. And when the doctor comes and there are visitors, you start discussing other inconsequential issues. Until you find a way to dismiss all of those people. You can never go and say, my wife is sick and we have asked a doctor to come and check her. You won't say that. Why are you like that? You are playing a role. This level of hypocrisy that is found in many people who want to work for God emanated from erroneous belief that the work of God is your credential. No. Please listen. What God does through a man does not become his credential. Doesn't change who he is. If I am sick and the Lord uses me to heal you, there's no problem about that. It all proves that it is not me who works, but God who is working. Oh, am I confusing somebody? So what is the secret that made Jesus to be real? Can I tell you a few times where Jesus, I saw Jesus be himself, be real. Hallelujah. Did you know that Jesus wept? Eh? He wept. And people saw him weeping. He wept. Some of you thought it is spirituality never to weep. When somebody who is beloved to you died, because they thought, let me just encourage every brethren that they know that we don't cry when people die. You are playing a role, isn't it? You come out and say, yes, yes, we thank God. Death is inevitable and yet has died. We thank God. Let's just stand up and go and worship God. Hallelujah. In fact, I have a meeting to go and preach now. You are playing a role. You are an hypocrite. That's not the kind of ministry that we see with Jesus. Because we are looking for genuine disciples that will be raised, we need to understand the pattern of life that Jesus lived. He lived a real life. And there is a reason behind all his action. He was never vague. He wept. When he saw Mary weeping, what did he do? He wept. He wept. Jesus was tired. And the Bible recorded it. That he was wearied with what? His journey. And he sat down upon the well because he was tired. Does that make him less Jesus? Does that make him less the spiritual man? Please talk to me quickly. Does that make him less our Savior? Does that make him less the anointed man who carried all the grace of God to heal and to deliver? Does that reduce him? Yet he was tired. And he did not hide his tiredness. He slept. Did you sleep? Talk to me, please. He slept. He slept in the midst of his disciples while they were crossing the river. The Bible said he put his head on a pillow and he slept. To the extent that the disciples came and said, "Care you not that we perish?" The way he slept made him appear in their eyes, because they were struggling with storm, made it appear to them that he did what? That he was careless. He wasn't playing a role. Are you getting me? He wasn't saying, keep quiet. No storm will trouble all of you. No, he slept. I can see some of you, in the name of acting spirituality, you are not real. You are not genuine. Some of you are disciples, but you are dramatists. All the disciples you are raising, they don't know you. You intimidate them with spirituality that is not real. So all of them are afraid. Hey, okay, it's coming. Hey, how can he see me eating now when he has not eaten before? But your guy eats secretly in the room. So are you happy for me to go with you to study Jesus? The real man that he is. And the pattern of life that he lived. Because we want to grow to be like him. We want to produce authentic disciples after his image. We want to raise people who can be themselves. And when they make real progress with God, it can be measured. Not those who try to create impression in fellowships, in discipleship meetings, but whose inner life is different, who smile when actually they are crying. Did you know Jesus? He confessed. He said, "Now my soul is what? Is troubled." What does that mean? What does that mean? He said, "Kai, I'm troubled in the heart. My soul is troubled. I'm really, really discouraged. What will I say? Father, deliver me from this hour, but for this hour I came." Father, glorify yourself. He expressed his feelings without pretense. Some of you, when you are sick, and we say, "How are you, brother?" I say, "I am very strong." You are a liar. Whom are you impressing with that now? Meanwhile, in your heart, you know you are sick. Why do you do that? So let's look at Jesus. His pattern of life. Verse 5 begins a very important issue that I want you to mark. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So, what does that first imply? Jesus Christ operated with what? With a mind. So many people think that spirituality means you become mindless. Some people think that when you are spiritual, you don't use your mind. Some people think that spirituality is to ignore your reasonability and be doing things just like that. I'm going to ask you, why are you doing this? Say, well, the spirit. So we have people that are vague, claiming spirituality that is unreasonable. May I say to you that Jesus Christ was never unreasonable. Hey, am I communicating with you? What did I say? Jesus Christ was never at any time unreasonable. Everything he did it from a mind that is sound. He operated with what? A sound mind. And I want you to know that you cannot be spiritual, correctly spiritual, if your mind is not sound. So let's quickly look at the Bible saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? The Bible said, who being in the form of God, did what? I thought you are reading your Bible. What did the Bible say? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Is there any other version that can read that verse 6 quickly for me? Be in very nature God. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. What do you consider? Where? In your mind. So I want you to note several issues about Jesus that I'm praying that will happen to you also with our study today in the name of Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus, in every sense, by every right, he was equal with God. Is that okay? But there was something in his mind. He did not think. He did not consider equality with God. Something to do what? Something to do what? Something to grasp. Something to hold tenaciously to. Something to defend. Something to fight for. He did not think competing to establish his equality with God is something important. He did not consider that why should they be calling God? And they will not recognize that me also, I am too equal with him. He did not think that that equality is something to do what? To grab and fight for. He did not think so. because he never thought equality with God was something to grasp, what did he do? He released it. He made himself of what? No reputation. Listen. So you see, when you see Jesus, all through the time he was here on earth, there were very few times he directly referred to himself as the Son of God. How did he refer to himself all along while he was on the earth? Son of Man. Why did he do that? He had considered in his heart that claiming equality with God is not important. That claiming equality with God does not increase or reduce who he is. Oh, you are not understanding me now. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, because of that, he made himself of no reputation. He wasn't going up and down with a reputation, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. If you greet God once, greet me second time. No. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Listen. I want you to see the way Jesus is thinking now. May the Lord give me quick way to express that so that you can understand in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you know what Jesus knew? He knew that even if he decided to become a servant and he's sweeping the floor, that does not in any way affect or change his equality with God. Hey, do you understand that? Do you understand that? So when he humbled himself by choice. He was not humbled by God. Did you hear me? God did not humiliate him. What did he do? He humbled himself. How? By choice. Why did he make that choice? Because he knew, he did not think struggling for equality with God is something to be grasped. Praise the Lord. Hey, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? If you are here, you're a prof, you're a professor of mathematics. If you went and sat in the class where they are doing mathematics 103 and all the fellow students who are doing mathematics 103 who are just coming and they are pushing you up and down, they're down there. Let me ask you a question. Does that change you from being a professor of mathematics? You are not answering me again. Does that make you to unknow what you knew? The fact that you sat in mathematics 103, Even if as if to refresh new trend of teaching mathematics 103, does that make you less than a professor? Now, why can't you sit there? Who knows why you will not sit there? Eh? There is a calculation in your mind. What does your mind say? Eh? They are not my equal. As if I should sit down there, they will take me for granted. And in fact, the assistant lecturer that is teaching 103 will think that he knows something that I don't know. Rather than allow him to be talking to me as if I don't know, I would rather read from the internet. You don't understand that now? Where is this calculation taking place? It's your mind. Let me tell you, every man that is proud is an action of where? Of your mind. There's nowhere else. Whenever I see anybody angry, maybe because when we are coming in, they did not know that you are actually the managing director of the company. But because your assistant dressed in such a manner that he looks like a big man. Are you getting me? And then the ushers, again, they are making genuine mistakes because they don't know. They usher your assistant to go and sit in a proper seat. And they ask me, I say, Oga, please move back here. Let me ask you. When they put you there, does that remove the fact that you are managing director? When they put your boy in front there, does that increase his salary? So why are you annoyed? Why are you unable to sit down? Why did you need to make a statement? Because your mind is saying, if I don't settle this issue here, if I don't grab my position, this is how I will be robbed. The Bible says Jesus did not think it robbery. Never consider it as robbery. He never thought it's a right that I must not be robbed of. So because of that mind, are you hearing me? I was just telling you that everything you see Jesus produce, live as a pattern of life, he did not do it arbitrarily. He wasn't impressing me. He was just living from his own persuasion. And for me also to grow to be like Jesus, I should be living from a correct persuasion. I should be living my life out of a right persuasion. I am persuaded in my heart that what you call me is not what makes me. Ah, you are not hearing me at all. If I can come here, you look and say, delay! Shall I die me? Is that not my name? Eh? Talk to me. Is that not my name? That's my name. Have they done anything wrong? Talk to me. Why did I think it's insult? It was not an insult until you thought it so. It's your mind. It's the mind you carry. God has called me and said, Uncle Billy, Uncle Billy. Let me ask you, does that increase my stature? I'm asking you a question. Does that make my stomach a little bigger? Or does he add an extra anointing to my life? No. But why do you particularly cherish that? Is a mind. And if the mind that operated in Christ has not found a space to operate in you, you cannot be like him. You cannot be pretending. Look at Jesus. His disciples, they gathered, they were going to eat. And when they set the table, normally, even in their culture, you put the highest seat for who? For the big man. And whenever you enter the house, the boy that washes people's feet as they are entering already understandably is known to be what? The slave of the house. So when they sat down to eat, he stood up from the seat. He put aside his gown, his regalia, he put it aside. And he put on him the garment and the towel of service. And he began to wash the feet of his disciples. I want you to listen. I'm not talking of feet washing that people do to intimidate you. They only play a role. If a pastor organized, say we are doing foot washing. Is that what he does when you visit his house? He just played a role. That's not a big issue. Let nobody confuse you with that kind. He washed their feet. When he had finished, he went back and sat on his seat. Do you know what he demonstrated? The Bible reported. Let me show you what the Bible said. Because I want you to know that Jesus was not acting arbitrarily. We are not sending you to go and be doing drama. We are asking that the mind that operated in Christ, that produced the kind of pattern of life you lived, will operate in you also in the name of Jesus Christ. Go quickly to John 13. John 13. When you get to John 13, I want to point one or two things quickly to you so that we can go on. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, I want you to take note of those little words. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel, and gathered himself. And after that, he pours water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was gathered. who understood what was the dynamics behind his action. What were the dynamics behind what he did? I'm taking this time because I want God to help you to know that spiritual life is not arbitrary. Spirituality is not vague. Our spirituality is not unreasonable. That's what I'm trying to note here. Look at the way the Bible put two things. Before the feast of Passover, when Jesus did what? Knew. Excuse me, where did he know? Where do you know things? You know it in your mind. When he knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. He knew that what Judas Iscariot was going to do, are you hearing me? It was the time for him to do it. He knew that. And because he knew that, I'm going to my Father, and what will take me to my Father is the process of betrayal from Judas that will lead me to the cross. Did he have a reason to be annoyed with Judas Iscariot? Eh? Why was he not annoyed with Judas Iscariot? He knew that the hour for him to go to his Father has come. So when Judas Iscariot was going out to collect money to betray him, do you know what he said to Judas? He said, Judas, that which you are doing, do it quickly. What a gracious man Jesus was. Do you know the reason why I see you struggling? Praying against someone who has not promoted you is because in your heart you thought that that's the man who is hindering your promotion. Abi, I wish you knew in your heart that promotion neither comes from the east nor from the west, and that it comes from God. And that when God has not promoted you, nobody can do it. But the day God promotes you, nobody can stop it. I wish you knew that in your heart. You will have relaxed. Because Jesus knew in his heart that it is time to go to his Father. When Judas Iscariot went and sold him out, did he enter into a personal quarrel with Judas? No. When Pilate was the order he was doing, did you see how gentle Jesus was with Pilate? He said, Pilate, it's not your fault. You will not have had any power over me if not that who? My Father has handed me over to you. It's not your problem. Please do what you are doing and don't feel bad. Now my Father that gave me to you. So when we see Jesus, who was so peaceful, who lived a simple life, who did not agitate for position, who struggled with nobody for relevance, it was because there's a mind with which he operated, asking you to follow his pattern of life without you acquiring the kind of mind he has is to give you a task that is impossible. Oh my God, am I confusing somebody? No. Because of the mighty heart, he never thought, hallelujah, that equality with God is something to grasp. Can I show you the mind he has? Do you want to know his mind? Jesus said, he said, all that the Father gives to me, we do what? Oh, you are not talking again. You mean you don't know those Bible verses? All that the Father gives to me will come to me. That's what he knew. Because he knows that what has not come to him is because the Father has not given it to him. Did he struggle for anybody? Let me ask you. Did Jesus struggle for support? Talk to me. Why didn't you see him going up and down begging people to come and support him? No. He knew that all that the Father gives to him, they will come. So when he was preaching, and it appeared as if some people were diverting people and said, what are you going there? What are you listening for? And they were going away. I thought Jesus would have stood and said, you are destroying my ministry, God will destroy you. See, this thing I've been building together, and you are scattering, God will scatter you. No! Look at Jesus. He said, did I not tell you that no man can come to me except my Father did what? Draws him. And all those that have been taught by my Father, they are the ones that hear me. Ah! That's why his ministry is simple. And when I also decided as I want to follow Jesus, I want to walk in his footsteps. And the first thing he said to me is, listen, you can't walk in my footsteps when you do not have my mind. So I find that the first thing to study about becoming like Jesus is to see if I can acquire his kind of life and his kind of mind. And he began to show me also. And one of the first verses he showed me said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from where? From heaven. When I became convinced in my mind, I also know, and I want to tell you why I am very rested. Not restless. Not struggling for you. Are you getting me? I'm not struggling for you. I didn't beg you to come for this meeting. When you came to this meeting, you came to this meeting. If you ask me, all I have asked is that all those that you have given to me, they will come. That's why you are here. Look, when I was going home yesterday, I saw many brothers and sisters trekking, going. I was telling the brothers in the car, I said, brothers, can you see? What is it that is bringing these kind of people here now? We are not advertising miracle. We are not saying 7 steps to becoming a millionaire. And they are coming. And our colleagues don't understand this. They think what brings people is the large size posters. They think it is the picture of themselves and their wives on the street corners that will bring people. That's what they think. Listen, listen. They are also acting from their own mind. They sat down and they thought that that is what brings people. But when I sat down and I said, Lord, show me your mind, and he showed me his mind, I said, can I have it? He said, you can have it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You know, I was a fanatical. I wanted to prove it. I wanted to prove whether it is possible that what Jesus said, that those that the Father gives to me will come to me. I wanted to prove it. You know, I did an experiment for my own life. I said, Lord, if it is true that those that you have given me will come to me, I will not do anything to attract anybody. I will not even put signboard in front of my house. Let me see whether you will introduce me to them as you introduce Peter to Cornelius. Whether they will find a way. Oh my God, I was overwhelmed. When after I have finished praying one day, I said, Lord, those that you are giving to me will come to me in this bush. I was in a big city. I was overwhelmed, sir. We wanted two men. After asking, they came and knocked at my door. I opened to them. They asked me, I say, are you Brother Billy? I say, yes, I am. Thank God. I was wondering why they were thanking God. I said, thank God. God has helped us. I said, for what? He said, we've been looking for your house. We were praying in our fellowship. And the Lord told us that there's a man in Katsina Allah who will guide you into the next thing that I want you to do in your fellowship. Go and look for him. So we started asking, is there a man of God like that? They said, there's one man. So when they came and they told me the story, I laughed. They didn't know I was laughing. I was just saying, God, so it works. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, did you send them? Are they the ones that you have taught who are coming to me? Or are they just, God said, they are the ones. Follow them. Accept their meeting. Once I was sure that it was from God, I told them, I said, okay, the Lord has also convinced me that he is the one that has brought you. They said, they were praying that God will convince me that he is the one that sent them to me. I said, yeah, he has. What kind of preacher I was. That does not beg for audience. That only waits for the Father. You can't copy me until you have this kind of mind. I know you'll be restless. I hear them say, he does not mean that in discipleship we don't do dumb money. Yeah. I know why you are restless. The mind that we have caught in Christ, you are yet to catch it. It is not that
We don't want money. But we have understood the mind that Christ had, that whatever the Father gives to me shall come. Do you know that when I need money, I never tell you? Why not? Because you're not the one. You're not the one that gives me money. I only receive from one. From who? The Father. When he gives me something, then I receive. Whosoever he sends to go and bring it is his business. That's why no man, no matter how much he brought, becomes important. No. You know why? They are not the ones, they are only messengers. They are only courier. Oh my God, this is very difficult, Abby. So when they bring it, and there's a brother here whom God has never sent to even bring us a cover, do we disrespect him? Why not? Talk to me. Why not? Because the Father has not sent him. That's why he's sitting tight with his money. And why do you call him when God has not sent him? How can you stand up and say, some of you are even here, you don't know how to give. We are doing great work here. We are only here, we are teaching you every morning, every afternoon. You are not giving anything. You are not serious. Why do you say that? Of course, it's because your mind is thwarted. You are looking at people. But I'm sitting here, I'm greeting you, serving with all my heart. And it's not a problem, because those are the Father, and what the Father gives me will come. So, you know, you may be sitting tight like that for 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, no problem. Can be in discipleship and there's nobody worries you about anything. No problem. How can I worry you when God has not worried you? But the day God worries you, the day God worries you like this, you can't sleep. In fact, you'll be running up and say, excuse me, come and deliver me from this. Though I said, what? He said, this money is my problem now. God said, I have to. I said, no, wait first. I said, no, please, if you don't take it, I don't know. I said, no, we can't take it yet. We need to pray first. He said, what, pray again? God has already told me, I'm sorry. I enjoy that. Enjoy it. But where do we get this kind of lifestyle? It's not arbitrary. It is the mind. So when we're talking about becoming like Jesus and walking in his pattern of life, it's not arbitrary. It is because of the mind that he has. He knew that those that the Father has taught, they are the ones that hear him. So when he preaches and people say, this they have said, this is a foolish talk, who can hear it? Does that discourage him? Does that make him look as if they are insulting him? No. What does he conclude? He says, because the Father has not taught them. That's why they did not hear me. Those things had dealt with my own life. That's given me peace. I want to tell you that to follow Jesus is real. It's good. Maybe it's not good for you. It's good for me. It's good for me. I don't want any other life. I don't want to follow any other man. All other men, I've seen them, they struggle. But I've seen Jesus. His way is simple. I said, Lord Jesus, if I follow this, do you mean that even people from anywhere over the world will come to me? He said, yes, if I've given them to you. Oh my God. And I've seen that happen. I've seen God give me wise people. They will say, we were praying. God said you are the one to disciple me. I said, how will God be telling a white man that it is me that will disciple him? He said that when we pray, that's what God told us. That's why we are looking for you everywhere. We are coming to Boko. I said, okay. You know, in Boko, we don't have a light too. I'm honestly speaking, I don't try to do anything different. One day I was watching a white man and his wife stay in my house for 4 months. They were fetching well water. They carried buckets the way we normally do. I enjoy that. I just sat back. I just said, oh, Mark, are you doing that? He said, yes. He said, we have to. I said, that's good. God bless you. Who could have done that to them? What kind of preaching can I preach to make a man who lives in a very big mansion to be crowded into one room? These are people that use washing machines since they were young. They just put their clothes there, they just press one button, everything will roll and roll and roll, and it will dry for them, and they will collect, and now you have to use the Premier soap. You do your hand like this. What they are doing, they are singing. They are rejoicing. I say, oh, this Jesus. I don't need to take photographs with them. Because they are not the one that make me. Their faith don't increase me. It doesn't reduce me. They are the ones that say, oh, Billy, we need to take your photograph because we want to show our children where we were. I say, okay, if you need it, it's all right. I put my face there for you. But for me, I don't need a cup. You see, what is the reason for that? It's not arbitrary. It is not something you are going to learn externally. If you do that, it will become legalistic. It will look at it in our own. This is what we do. No, that's not what we do. It's a mind that produces the kind of life we are talking about. Are we together? Would you like to walk with Jesus? Would you like to be like Jesus? Now let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Even though he was equal with God, he did not think equality with God something to grasp. So he waited for the Father to call men for him. He waited for provisions. He prayed every day simply because he knew that that's the only thing that will release heaven to him. If you follow me to this point, that will now explain to you the simplicity we see with Jesus. When I see complicity with many people, when I see sophistication, when I see somebody coming and he dresses like this, and three people are in front of him carrying his things, and other people at the back. It is a mind. You think he's just acting like that? No. Something tells him that the sign of achievement is the retinue of servants that go in front of you and come behind you, because he's already seen what they do in the world. And his understanding of greatness is only defined in that kind of show. It is coming. You think that what makes him big is the number of cars in his entourage. Even though he has only one car, he will make sure, say, tell anybody that has cars to go and wait for me. So that when I'm entering, everybody has a car, everybody will just go and line up behind it, then they will be coming. What's the meaning of that? What's the meaning of that? Does that show that he's bigger than himself? Talk to me. He became alone in his car. Does that reduce him? Hey, but in his mind, that's a reduction. How can I go alone in one car? I'm bigger than one car now. You see, if it were possible in his mind to put one leg in one car and put the second leg in another car and they see him in three cars, he would have known that. But since he could not be in three cars, it's okay. Let me sit in one. Let one sit there. Then another one. So that when we go there, they say yes. Perverted mind. He doesn't understand what is the true meaning of greatness. So Jesus, in his mind, he said, he will be greatest among you. He will be what? The slave of all of you. How can you say that is greatness? That is his mind. That is his own conceptual understanding. Friends, Jesus was not arbitrary. He was real because he was acting from his mind. Everything he did, he has a reason for doing it. The Bible said Jesus endured the cross. Am I right? Why? For the joy that was set before him. So you see, Jesus was not just going to face the cross without thinking. He knew that if the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will bring forth much fruit. So he decided and considered as a good business to face the cross, that thousands and millions of us will be brought to heaven. He wasn't doing it foolishly. Praise the Lord. Christianity doesn't make us foolish. Even though the world system may say we are fools according to them because of their own definition. But according to our own understanding, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest of men. Oh, you don't understand how joyful I am to be a child of God. Do you know that to be simple is wonderful? Wonderful! Hey, I've seen a big man. He's hungry. But big man will not allow him to eat. He's too big to buy roasted plantain and eat. He's too big. Roasted plantain. That when you have bought plantain and you have added granite and you have bought water, you have not spent 200. But the big man said, a homie to eat. And I was wondering whether it is not his mouth that he will use to eat. I'm wondering whether it is not his anus that he will use to excrete. I'm wondering, then, even if it is the same roasted plantain that we eat, big man's chef
makes him to prefer to buy that for 2,000. Because they will use serviette paper. What do I call it? It's on the serviette paper. They will use it to put on top of one plate. Then they will put some countable number of granules. They put it around it. And then one girl will dress and bring it, and do like this. Then he will see that. Then he will be ready to pay 5,000. For what I have eaten much more, I have enjoyed it for less than 200 naira. How could you say that man is wiser than me? Honestly speaking. You see, it's the question of your mind. It's your mind that is thwarted. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But I know the world system is squeezing you into its mold. The world system is telling you how you should live your life, contrary to how Jesus lived a life that is enduring. I want you to know that Jesus lived life here. And all these thousands of years, his principles have never faded. His way of life surpasses any other way that any man has ever lived. That's why I want to follow Jesus. That's why I want to be like Jesus. That's why I want my life to be conformed to his image. That's why I'm asking day by day, to be like you. Because, you know, even in my own ordinary heart, I have sat down, I have concluded, there's no one like Jesus to me. There is no one like Jesus to me. No matter how foolish I may be, I'm going to Jesus, the owner of my soul. No one like Jesus to me. I speak to you this morning out of conviction. The way of Jesus is the way. The life of Jesus is the life. Is the truth. I have come to prove that every other person outside Christ's way of life is a camouflage. Camouflage. People are not as real as you think they are. They are not. They are all busy creating impressions. They are not real. When you take the yoke of Jesus upon yourself, when you begin to learn of Jesus, and meet and know your heart, then you find rest. Rest. I don't know how many of you have found rest. Rest. I found that many of us, we have not rested because the world system is worrying you. The world system is troubling you. The world system is making you to put emphasis where it is not. Jesus told that man, he said, beware of covetousness. For the life of a man does not consist, that is, your life is not a constituent of the abundance of things you have. I thank God for all of you here. Some of you have about 100 shoes in your house. Abi? How many are you wearing here? Only one. You say, you know, I need to have all of this so that when I want to change, are you a chameleon? Now, people whose mind is thwarted, they think I'm preaching poverty. They think it is riches to have bundles of wonder shoes, looking for where to keep them. And honestly speaking, listen to me, can you go inside the pack and in the rack, bring out a shoe and wear it automatically? What must you do? You have to start a fresh process of cleaning it, of shining it, of drying it, before you can wear it. If you are a thinking person, knowing that your life is the one you are spending as you are waiting for shoe to dry. And because it was a long time you wore it, the first 1 hour, it is paining your leg. What is that? Is that right? You are a prisoner of what you chose to submit yourself to. I said, you see, you can't concentrate. You are walking into a meeting. You are still also, let this thing not make me fall. Let this thing not make me fall. You have to organize yourself. Why do you make yourself so complicated? But it is your mind. Something in your mind says, this is how to be important. I wish God will help you to choose the way of Jesus. What is His way? Look at His way. Time is beckoning me and say, brother, you must begin to stop now. I will. Look. But made Himself of no reputation. Verse 7. And took upon Him the form of a servant. And He was made in the likeness of men. Now, I'm going on to say something now. And being found in fashion as a man, what did He do? He humbled Himself. Let me share something with you. Anybody who is in the fashion of a man, the only correct thing to do is what? Is to humble yourself. I want to tell you the best way to live and live long is to humble yourself. Have you ever seen any man fighting a humble man? If you are acting a big man as you are coming, and I stand up to give you the chair because you're a big man, and I gave you the chair, and I went and found another seat for myself, will anything make you to fight me? Talk to me now. What will you do? You say, thank you. And if you have some money in your pocket and you want to put that you're a big man, okay, go home and take this. If I need money, I will take it. It doesn't make, not no problem. But you know, when you have arrogated yourself like that, you are always in bondage of keeping up that. Every arrogant man is in bondage. Any man who decided to take the tough seat is a fearful man. You know the fear? Who knows the fear of a big man who is on top there? How I will not fall. But you know that beautiful song we used to sing. He that is down needs fear no more. You remember the song? And we used to sing it in the old, ancient and modern. He that is down, meet here no fall. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may do what? Exalt you in due season. Be strong in fashion as a man. What did Jesus do? He humbled himself. May I say to you, humility as a way of life is what we see with Jesus. And why did he do that? He did that because once you are found in fashion as a man, the greatest open door for you to possess the whole world is to humble yourself. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. When a man humbles himself, hallelujah! Nobody fighting. Doors open. Many doors. In fact, the kingdom of heaven belongs to men who are humble. But let me ask you, what are you arrogant about? You think now. What are you arrogant about? You are the first professor in your village, Abby. Does that give you two mouths? Talk to me now. How I wish you humbled yourself and people discover the treasure in you and then they carry you. They say, hey, we didn't know this is his value and we have been taking for granted. Then you see them, they welcome and fall before you. And even when they fall before you, don't stay there. Come down again. The more you come down, they will be looking for how to enter the ground deeper. That's how to control the world. That's the principle of Jesus. That's the life he showed us. He humbled himself. Too many people are proud. And that's why God cannot use them for a long time. Some of you are proud. You are proud of your appearance. Hey, poor man. You are proud of your appearance. I say, what's the meaning of that? How I wish God will help you to know the end of your beauty. There's Margot. And this is what you did not create. It was not you who gave yourself your shape. What does that overwhelm your mind? As if that makes you a different person. To such a point that all the young men that will have married you as a young girl, your sense of beauty has made you to throw away your blessing. You are not likely to marry you. Because when all the young men are coming, his tongue is not regular with his lips. And I get this one, it's too oblong. I need somebody who is cute and cut. It's okay. Keep waiting. When you become 43, you are likely to marry a widower. And you are too beautiful to be married. Somebody will just come around and say, well, are you tired of waiting? I have somebody who lost his wife 3 years ago, had about 5 children, and is needing somebody to keep him in company. Do you mind? You will shed some tears. You say, okay, Lord, if there's no other way, I'm sorry. man is unfortunate. Are you proud because of appearance? Stop it. Stop it. Your appearance is not the value of who you are. Who you are inside is the hidden man of the heart that God values. Excuse me, did I say you should appear unkempt? No! Did I say so that you can be humble, you should not dress properly? No! Humble people, they take care of themselves, they appreciate what God makes them, but they give God praise for who they are. So they take care of it. If God makes you naturally beautiful, don't disfigure yourself. Let the beauty speak of the glory of God. Of course, some people will come there and say, oh, you're 16, you're just beautiful. When they say that to your ear, don't let it enter your heart. Tell them, thank God. Thank God who made all things well. Is it not God? Give God the praise. Some are proud of their capacity. They are proud because of what they know how to do. Those who know how to preach, they are proud of it. Those who know how to do something, they are boasting about it. How? A proud man is unfortunate. One of the things you see in Jesus, he humbled himself. Once he found himself in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself. And I've been begging God, Lord, the only thing that can keep me an enduring vessel in the hand of God is not achievement. It's not the people I have blessed over the years. It is my constant humility to keep knowing that I would have been nothing if not for Him. And that I am even nothing without Him. And I can be nothing outside of Him. And if everything that I am is from Him, why do I boast as if I did not receive them? I want to be humble. I don't want ministry to enter my head because it's not my work. I don't want clout to redefine me as if now I'm a big man. No, I'm still a brother. Just a brother. A brother among many, many brethren. That's all. It is only grace that brought us to where we are. And grace, if it is grace, are you hearing me? If it is grace, then it's never paid for, it's never merited, it's never a credit. Grace. Grace, thy grace alone. Is all I plead for. Grace to serve you, right, Lord. I have come to know that. And I found that my Master Jesus, once he found himself as in fashion as a man, what did he do? Humbled himself. I will tell you something quickly about humility. Because humility is not about looking down. Humility is not shaking your body like a leaf. No. That is inverted humility. An inverted humility is equal to pride. Humility is not timidity. So what is humility? Look at the Bible defining it for us in Christ Jesus. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Listen. Listen to me. Every disobedience to anybody at all is only a manifestation of what? Of pride. You may not know. You see that obedience is an expression of a life that has accepted the subordinate position. Please hear me. I'm defining this so that you understand. Humility is the is only expressed by the spirit of obedience. But obedience is a lifestyle that has accepted the second place, that does not resist being sent. Now, I can imagine that some of you think you are obedient when it's a big man that sends you. But I want to tell you, if you only obey the big man, you are simply proving that you are reasonable. Eh? If Brother Bile came to you and I asked him, I said, "Bro, please stand up and give me that chair." And you give me the chair. That looks like obedience. Abi? Until when a small girl, another sister came and looked at her and said, "Bro, please stand up, bring that chair here, bring that chair for me." That's when something is there. Say, what? Then, in 1 second, you have calculated her age. You have estimated her educational attainment. And you have immediately, in 1 second, you have determined on what ground is this girl saying this. So if you wanted to be polite, you say, silence is the best answer for a fool. So what do you do? You may even be reading your Bible. And then she comes and says, "Bro, I'm talking to you. Are you talking to me?" Eh? You are talking to me? You see, when you say, "Eh, you are talking to me," you know that there's a discussion inside. There's an arrogant man inside saying, "Me? To stand up? To carry chair for you? Eh? How are you treated?" Christianity. Only in discipleship they do this kind of thing. Lack of home training. Well, I don't like to quarrel, but sorry, go and look for your own chair. You see, you may be thinking that it's because it's a small girl, that's why you are reluctant to obey. No. It's because something in you is clinging to a position. Say, if that belief can send me, does that mean this girl also can be ordering me up and down? I know my seniors. I know my equals. And I also know my juniors. Let's do everything in order. We are Christian, but we need to be orderly. God bless you. You spiritualize it, but there's a light there. It's pride. Why can't you be sent? So Jesus said earlier, the passage said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That was the mind that Jesus had. That was why, as big as he was, he cooked, he roasted fish for weak people, for his disciples, those that have that disobeyed him, those that he told them go and preach, they went back to fish. He cooked for them. When he served them food, he said, come and eat. When they finished eating, he didn't abuse them. He only called brother Peter aside and asked him, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He didn't say, why did you come back to the riverside? Is that what I told you to do? No. He only appealed to his love. Would you like to be like Jesus? He humbled himself. Is anybody proud here? Pride of grace. The grace of God. You are proud of it. You are proud of your spiritual gift. God gave you a good voice to sing, and that has made you proud. Are you proud of opportunity? Do you know, I want to tell you the truth. Can I tell you? It's an opportunity. Even to preach is an opportunity. There could be some other brothers here who will preach better than I do. So when God gives me an opportunity to preach the word, it doesn't make me different. It's an opportunity. And you can't be proud of opportunity. Opportunity is what is given to you to manifest the grace of God in your life. How many people have grace in their lives, but there's no opportunity to show it until they died? You're going to pray with me. I'm looking at the pattern of Christ's life. I could have been saying, well, when he healed the sick, he did not receive the claim. But the mind behind is what I'm dealing with. I could have said, when he was going on the road, he did not cry on the street. He was not drawing attention to himself. It's because of the mind that he has. We could have gone back and been looking at all those 1111 things he did. But I felt it would be useful if we only went to look at the mind that he had. The mind behind his pattern of life. And I'm begging that the Lord will create that kind of mind in me. You see, I pray for myself because having seen Jesus, I've asked many times, what manner of man are you? Many times I've asked. I said, Jesus, what manner of man are you? Why are you so different? Why is your understanding different from my own? And I saw that is the mind that he has. Let this mind be in you. He became obedient unto death. He could obey anybody. He obeyed unto death, even the death of the cross. Can I conclude by saying, and this lifestyle is not without reward. Did you hear me? Living like this is not rewardless. Don't let anybody intimidate you that if you live like this, if you follow Jesus like this, you will just die. Don't let people think that when we follow the way of Jesus, when we live like he wanted us to live, that we are going to be inferior. It's not true. It's not true. Look at the Bible. Wherefore, verse 9. God also. Did you see the word wherefore? What's the meaning of wherefore? Therefore, because of these things, because of the life he chose to live, because he humbled himself, because he made himself of no reputation, because he did not think equality with God is something to grasp. Wherefore, God also has highly. Do you understand the meaning of highly? Highly exalted him. Say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will do what? He will exalt you in due season. Now, we are saying the Bible saying, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I want you to hear this. In the world system, they make names. People make names. They are making names. At the time of Abel, they said, let us make a name for ourselves. Isn't it? Many preachers want to make a name. Some are on the television just to make a name. All the big posters on the road is just to make a name. It's not about Jesus. In recent times, I'm not even seeing Jesus on those posters anymore. You know, before, you will see the man of God there with everything they have said about him. Then at the end of it, they say, Jesus is Lord. At least it's okay. But now, there's nothing like that anymore. Bishop Sanso welcomes you to this glorious service. Come, you will meet the man of God, and you'll be blessed. Wherefore, God also has highly done what? Exalted him. And giving him a name. I believe in what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. I believe it. I believe that the way of Jesus, the lifestyle of Jesus, the pattern of his life, leads to exaltation. God exalts those who follow this life. Can I tell you that God does? He does. I wouldn't have time to tell you, but I want to tell you, God highly exalted him. And if you also decide under God that I want to follow this way of Jesus, you will not be lost. You will not be forgotten. He will bring you up. He will bring you up. Praise the Lord. He will give you a name. He will give you a name. You don't need to make a name. God gave him a name. There's a great difference between making a name and being given a name. I prefer to wait until God can give us a name among men. Can give us a name. Even in our country. If that is important. He can give us a name in the world if he needed it. But I want to say to you, this way of Jesus, it pays. And authentic authority comes out of this humility. Praise the Lord. Those who humble themselves, they are the most powerful men that God ever raises. Humble men are powerful men. Arrogant men, they are noisy, but they have very little power. They use power to force men. But humble men, God gives them control. Control that is not imposed. People are willing to submit to their leadership. I just want to stop here as I look at that concluding verse. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You will live to understand that as you go on. You will live to experience the power in the name of Jesus. But the biggest joy I have is that He has also lent us that name. The other day I was somewhere and I was in my quiet time, I was wondering, I said, Lord, just for your name that I bear around, I have so much care, so much. We are going somewhere and my car broke down. And I mistakenly came out to stand by the car. And in about 10 minutes, many cars were parked. I said, Bradbury, oh, anything wrong with your car? Oh, what do we do? And they were parking. Ah, I felt embarrassed. People say, who is this big man that all these cars are parking around him? Ah, I said, oh, I wish we didn't park here. Someone just said, okay, sir, leave this car with me. Let them take you to where you are going. I will finish the car and bring it. If I were a chief, do I have that right? If I were a governor, would that kind of thing happen? You know, they will have to be calling, saying, excuse me, send the other car. That's what they will be doing there. Me, I don't need to telephone. Heaven gathered people just because of the name of Jesus. No. It's a name that I don't want to change for anything else. The name of Jesus. We had an accident some years ago. In the middle of the bush, if you see where the car landed, you will not know anybody was there. 1 minute as I came out, the car caught fire and burnt. We were in the bush, we didn't even know where we were. And we stopped one gunguru that took us to the nearby village. As I was entering the village, and they took us to one clinic, as I lie down there, I don't understand. The nurse on duty, as soon as he saw my face, said, Uncle Billy, are you the one? I said, I'm the one. She quickly called her pastor. Pastor, the man you said preached to you in your pastor's conference is in the hospital. The man ran down. Before I know, the entire church in the village were gathered. If I were a chief, if I was a oil worker, do I have access to that? Talk to me. Money looks important, but it's not as good as this name I bear. It's a great name. It's a wonderful name. I don't want my own name. I want to be lost in that name. That's my desire. I wonder when people see me, they only see Jesus. And they say, it's because of Jesus that we are doing this for you and it's good for me. Then the brethren in Abuja, they quickly began to mobilize the chief matron of the big hospital. At first, jumped into the ambulance, they were coming. People are saying, what kind of man is this?
By the time they took us to Astro Clinic or wherever they put us, there was confusion now. The OPD was full of my visitors. The only people, the only person they were all looking for is Dragbele. People were coming from government, from churches, from denominations, everywhere. So they had to open a different register for my guests. There's a nurse who was in charge of that one. So you know, they were carrying me and saying, "Oh, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Your visitors. In fact, somebody came from the presidency to greet you, but we said you are resting. So in their sign, I'm just sitting down there." I begged them, I said, "Please discharge me, let me go back to my village so that you can continue your own operation. It will be a problem." All because of the name of Jesus. We don't have money, but we have the name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And he said, "Behold, go in my name." I don't need any other name. I don't want my name. I want his name. I don't know what you want, but that's what I want. I want to pray, if you would like to join me in prayer this afternoon. The same song we sang yesterday. "Lord, I want to be like Jesus. In my Lord, I want to be like Jesus. In my Jesus in my life, in my heart, inside my heart. Oh Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, in my heart. Before you pray, I want you to take that song just two more times. Lord, I want. Just Lord, in my heart. Lord, I want. In my heart. To pray now. Just talk to God. Just talk to God. Look at the mind that he had. How different it is from your own mind. See, you are always struggling, you are competing, you are arguing, you are proving a point. You are trying to say, "What do they have that I don't have?" You are busy talking about what you could have achieved.
Can you tell God, circumcise my heart? Change my heart this afternoon. Change my heart. I am so restless, I don't know why. See how I'm struggling, I'm going up and down, instead of settling with you. Lord, change my heart. Touch my heart, Lord. Make me a different person. Make me a different person. Make me a different person. Transform me. Transform my thought and my nature. I know you may be in this meeting this morning and you just feel the echo of your inner man. You feel pride, arrogance. The reason why God cannot lift you have lifted yourself up. You have put yourself on a high pedestal and God is saying, when will you come down? Come down so that I can lift you up. We do that song one more time. And in case you are saying, Lord, you know my heart, I want to bring it before you. Circumcise my heart. Break my heart. I don't know what I'm always angry about. Anger is a manifestation of an inner pride. You have an exaggerated sense of your importance. Your wife cannot be at peace because you are asserting yourself. Bring that heart and say, God, I want to be like Jesus. You must do something to me this afternoon. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Oh Lord, let your spirit be shown by the candle of us. I want you to pray. You want to believe. Many people are only playing a role. They are only acting. They are only acting. You are doing many things that you are not real. You are only playing a role. You are only wearing a gown. You are not yourself. Tell God, do something to my heart today. I need a touch. I need a touch. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. Ask God, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Create in me a new heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit within me. A right spirit within me. You are spending so much. You are putting so much on your life, and it's not needed. You are restless. You are struggling to meet up at different standards. Thank God this afternoon. I want to be like Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We are going to pray. Whatever you need from God this afternoon, whatever it is, can you not lay it down? The call this afternoon is for all those who are saying, Lord, I want to be real. I want to take your yoke upon me. I want to learn your lifestyle. I want to walk in this life. I want to be part of what you are doing now. Lord, do something with my life. Before we close this prayer,
and giving you a space. You may not know that this is why you are always angry. This is why you are always contending. I see you think that you are trying to make you less than you are. What does that mean? He that is down needs to have no fall. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Somebody else want to come before the Lord and say, I'm bringing my heart. I just want to bring my heart. I just realized that what I'm living for is not real. I just want you to help me. God bless you. God bless you. Let me conclude in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen. The call before God today is for a circumcised heart. You see, if the mind you carry is the mind of the world, you cannot be anything different from the world system. You may try that you want to be like Jesus, it will be a useless effort because the man in you is contrary. They call this afternoon to say, Lord, change my heart. Can you impart to me the kind of mind that you have? That's the prayer this afternoon. All the issues you have been battling with, covetousness, struggling, restlessness, wanting to impress people, quiet pride that resists obedience. You are very stubborn, but your stubbornness is simply because you think people should not take you for granted. You are always defending yourself. You are full of arguments because someone tells you that if they win the argument, it means you are not intelligent. What does that mean? Let's take that song finally. And we're only asking God, give me your own heart. Give me my heart. Give me my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in love. That you are struggling with your husband because you are saying he ought to know that I am something. Why don't you let that go and see what Jesus will do of your life? How long will you be struggling with your brother, your female sister, your junior sister? What for? What did you gain by gaining arguments? In my heart. Jesus, in my heart, in my heart, within my heart, oh Lord, I'm looking for an internal transformation. Lord, I want to be in my heart, in my heart.
Jesus in our hearts. Ask God to circumcise your heart this afternoon. Let him cut away that human nature that always grappling, struggling for recognition, struggling for everything. That's why even in your ministry, you are struggling. You are struggling. The noise you are making is to outshadow others. I want you to repent and come before God and say, Lord, enough of that kind of ministry. I want to follow your pattern. Is that someone again? You need to follow Jesus' pattern. Even in the work you are doing, you are saying, Lord, let this afternoon mark a change, a turnaround for my life. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for this afternoon. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. All of us, can you stand before God in prayer? Those that are kneeling down, please just lift up your hand to God. God knows what He wants to do. I know God is not bringing you to this altar to waste your time. The circumcision is taking place. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit. Some of you say, I don't know why I'm always angry. Anger is nothing but pride. Pride. You think too much about yourself. God wants to take away that now. Please lift your hands wherever you are and let's tell God. Father, this afternoon, all we are asking for is to be like you. Stamp your image deep on our hearts. Lord, some of us have struggled. We have been carrying heavy load. Heavy load of self. We are always wanting to prove a point. The reason why we break away from different things is simply because we are looking for expression. We thought that if we don't shout it, men will not give us our space. We've been fighting and fighting, we gain nothing. But you said, blessed are the meek, they are the ones that will inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, they are the ones that will have the kingdom of heaven. But Lord, we have gone the other way. We have pursued things that never satisfy. This afternoon, Lord, we stand before you. Do a deep work in our hearts. Even those of us that are standing in our place there, it's not that we didn't have a need, we have a need. But we simply don't just know what else to do than to say, Lord, change our story. Lord, I ask that this afternoon, create an hunger in us to be like Jesus. The mind of Christ, release it upon our lives. Take away this old mind of the flesh. Lord, some of us, we have struggled with, some broke away from one ministry or the other because they don't respect me. And that's why we are wasting resources to do the work we thought we are doing. All just for self to be established. Forgive us this afternoon. We want to resign from all such useless venture. We want to be like you. Some of us, we have found it difficult to obey. We are stubborn. Because we are proud. Because something is saying, they ought not to talk to you like that. Silence the arrogant voice, oh God. Cause us to follow your noble way. When you humbled yourself, you were highly exalted. Lord, I ask this afternoon, we have been struggling to exalt ourselves.
Yet we are not able to make it. We are climbing, but we are falling back. Because you've not carried us up yet. Lord, we come before you now. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. So that in your due season, you will lift us up. We don't want to struggle anymore. Let struggle finish this afternoon. Let every struggle finish this afternoon. In the name of Jesus Christ. From this afternoon. Yes. Let it end this afternoon. It's okay, it's okay. It's okay, please. Let there be peace in the name of Jesus. It's okay. God has come. We will take that message. We will. Please, let's be quiet. Upon you, learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart, and you find rest to your souls. We will find rest. All those that have struggled in life, you will find rest. All those that are laboring to be accepted, you are struggling to win a favor, you no longer need to do that. The Lord will give you rest. Spirit of God, we ask that you will put a stamp upon this world. We have come to you. We are tired of everything else. Lord, from this afternoon, we want to be like you. We want to walk in your footsteps. Raise among us workers who only stand after your pattern. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. I want you to know that God said, what you are hearing today will give you rest. Every struggle will finish in the name of Jesus. Please stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. All right. Is there a space where we can come? Let's go with our brother. Whatever he says to you is okay. But I know you will enter your rest from this meeting. Please go with him. God bless you.
For further inquiries on this and other messages, please contact Refuge Media at Trinity Methodist Shopping Arcade, No. 1 Constitution Road, P.O. Box 7332, Kaduna, Nigeria. Telephone 0703-456-8035, 0805-845-5719. Email info@theplaceofrefuge.org. Website www.theplaceofrefuge.org.